You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
Good morning and welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast over here at the Locked On Podcast Network, giving you the best news, insight, and coverage of all things orange and blue related. Very stoked to be back with you guys here once again for another episode of the show. I am your host, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst covering the Denver Broncos and the rest of the NFL. I also do some work for the fan-sided networks, PredominantlyOrange.com. Go over there today, PredominantlyOrange.com. Check out all the great daily content from a great group of content creators over there at Predominantly Orange. You guys can follow me on Twitter, at Cody Rourke NFL. And we're going to get started. Today's episode of the show, we're going to jump into our daily Broncos rundown, some Broncos news regarding some players. Darian Stewart, he's moving on somewhere else. The Broncos and Darian Stewart parting ways. We're going to talk about that, what that means for the Broncos here in segment number one, alongside some other Broncos-related news. And then segments two and three of today's show, we're going to hit the Periscope to hear from Broncos country and members in the NFL community. So very excited about all that action there. But let's get to the big news of this morning. Now, yesterday, Darian Stewart created a post on Twitter, on social media, announcing that John Elway had spoken with him, had called him and informed him that the team was releasing him. This will open up about maybe $3.5 million in cap space for the Broncos. Darian Stewart, he was set to make $5 million this season with the team. But the Broncos, they're looking to go younger. They're looking to part ways with him, and it has happened. We talked about it last week as something that we're more than likely we were going to see happen. And for this move for the Broncos, it's not because Darian Stewart isn't a good football player. Darian Stewart is a phenomenal football player, a very good safety. The biggest thing with Darian Stewart and Denver's scheme and fit was really in a division where you have tight ends, you got to be able to cover the tight end. Darian Stewart, for the last three seasons, it's been rough for him. He's had a rough go in terms of his pass coverage. 2015, he was very great. I mean, him and David Bruton and TJ Ward, that safety rotation that they had in 2015, the year they won the Super Bowl, was phenomenal. Darian Stewart played such an intricate role in the Broncos' success in 2015. Don't forget that game in 2016 on the road at the New Orleans Saints, three interceptions. Phenomenal performance there. He's had great performances for the Broncos, and as he's gotten older, he has dealt with some injuries, some neck injuries, shoulder injuries, stinger injuries. But Darian Stewart, a very, very good athlete, good football player, very good professional. I mean, he's very, very professional, very kind. You know, had a chance to talk to him at Broncos training camp, and one of the nicest guys, very humble, very laid back. And the last member of the Broncos no-fly zone is Chris Harris Jr. With Darian Stewart gone, there's only one. So bye-bye, TJ Ward. No more Aqib Talib. Now no more Darian Stewart. Where's Darian Stewart going to end up next? That's going to be a very interesting question. Could he end up back in Baltimore? There's a possibility there. But some NFL team will look for his services. And I think that NFL team will formulate in their scheme defensively for Darian Stewart to be a primary run-stopping guy. Keep him in the box. Don't put him out there. Isolate him out there in coverage. We talk a lot about scheme. Scheme matters. And for the Broncos and Coach Fangio's scheme, Darian Stewart wouldn't have been a good fit for that. The Broncos really, really impressed and excited with Justin Simmons for the future, who's definitely got a strong learning curve. He's going to have to learn quickly in a new system. Will Parks as well, a lot of praise there. They do have safeties on the roster. They still have Trey Marshall, Jamal Carter. You know, we talk about Will Parks, Sua Cravens, Justin Simmons, the Demonte Thomas, who completely, in my opinion, could be the underrated guy that we look at in 2019. Now, the question is, with this move here, you almost have to wonder, are the Broncos going to make a move for a safety when free agency hits next week? Keep an eye on Adrian Amos, a guy who, in my opinion, is a hard-hitting guy. He can cover. He had a lot of success in Coach Fangio's system. This has been talked about so often, and that tie there with Coach Fangio. It almost seems like it will happen, but they have also expressed bringing him back to Chicago. So, can Chicago entice him to stay there with new defensive coordinator Chuck Pagano? What that remains to be seen. We'll talk about that, obviously, as that news happens. But keep an eye on the Broncos being interested in Adrian Amos as well. Coming to the Broncos, it's definitely something you look at. It seems like a surefire thing. We'll find out next week more for certain. And some other Broncos-related news. Thank you to The Athletic's Nikki Jobvala for this. Several contract options are coming up for the Broncos. We already heard that John Elway said they did pick up the options for Derek Wolfe and Emmanuel Sanders. When we look at that, tomorrow is a big day. Tomorrow is where the option for Derek Wolfe must be picked up, and John Elway said that, you know, they're going to pick it up. March 12th, the contract options for both Chris Harris Jr., Emmanuel Sanders, they're there. Expect the Broncos to exercise both of those, but Brandon Marshall obviously being a third guy whose contract would not be exercised. It's not happening. March 12th is the deadline for that. So the Broncos will exercise Chris Harris Jr., Emmanuel Sanders, but not Brandon Marshall. Brandon Marshall is going to hit free agency. He's going to find himself with a new team next year unless they can renegotiate a new deal, which would be cheaper. But I don't really see it happening. Unfortunately for Brandon Marshall, unfortunately for Darian Stewart, two veteran guys that have been battling injuries, that have been banged up. That doesn't keep you on a field in the NFL. It doesn't keep you on a team for that much longer. So wherever those two go, definitely have to support them. Very, very big, intricate parts of Broncos country and Broncos history. Darian Stewart, part of one of the best secondaries in all of football history. That no-fly zone, which, you know, can you ask the question, does the no-fly zone even exist anymore? Is it a thing for the Broncos? No, not as of last year. Last year, that narrative kind of went out the window. The Broncos gave up a lot through the air. That was definitely not something that I think Broncos country had in mind. Chris Harris Jr. balled out, but the rest of the secondary struggled completely. So I would say the no-fly zone is probably a nickname that should be retired for the Broncos with Aqib Talib, TJ Ward, Darian Stewart, and Chris Harris Jr. Leave it at that. Those guys were phenomenal with it. You got to create your own new thing now. And then Ron Leary's $5.3 million salary becomes fully guaranteed on March 17th. That will be picked up by the Broncos. A lot of that being an injury clause in his contract. The Broncos want to see what he can do when he comes back healthy working with Mike Munchak. So keep an eye on that as news progresses through NFL free agency. And also some AFC West news. We could find out maybe by today, or maybe by tomorrow, whether or not Antonio Brown will be heading to a divisional rival. Now, there's been a lot of talk, a lot of traction for Antonio Brown possibly going to the Oakland Raiders. The Oakland Raiders have the capital in the draft. They have the ability to, I would say, get rid of one of those first-round picks to Pittsburgh in order to get a talent like Antonio Brown. Think about it this way, too. The Raiders need a wide receiver, a prolific guy. Antonio Brown is that guy. John Gruden can manage some of those personalities. So it's looking possible that the Broncos could see Antonio Brown two times per year. If that happens, we're going to have full-on recap. We're going to have coverage of that here at the Locked On Broncos podcast. Also next week, Free Agency Frenzy is here. We're going to have you covered with all the Broncos news, with wherever team, whatever player from any team comes to the Broncos. We're going to have a show on it. We're going to break it all down. We're going to hear in a crossover show from the team of whatever player comes to Denver. We're going to hear from that other team about what the Broncos can expect from them as well. But I got to remind you guys, before we jump into segment number two, we're going to get into our Periscope session here with Broncos country and the NFL community. But before we jump into that, I got to remind you guys that the Locked On Nuggets podcast is my go-to every single morning. If you're a Denver sports guy, we got a lot of cool things coming up for you. You have Locked On Nuggets, you have Locked On Broncos, and here at the end of the month, the Locked On Podcast Network will be relaunching the Locked On MLB channel. This opens it up for Locked On Rockies. We know baseball season's coming up. We know that Broncos fans, Nuggets fans, Rockies fans, if you're a Colorado sports fan, you got to be in the know with the Locked On Podcast Network. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Locked On Broncos podcast. We're getting into our Twitter Periscope edition of the show over there at CodyWorkNFL. We're joined by the NFL community on the Twitter sphere or Periscope, tuning in wherever they're at, and they're firing away with Broncos topics. We're answering Broncos topics. We're answering NFL topics. We're answering everything, anything and everything football-related. Free agency is approaching us next Wednesday. What are the big moves going to be? What are some of your predictions? Fire away in the comments. We'll share them here on air, but let's get into it with some questions from the Twitter sphere and Periscope. I don't even know if they have a Periscope sphere, but whatever it may be, that's what it is. We got Brandon Quinn in the chat as well. Broncos, obviously big news today for them, releasing Darian Stewart, announcing it. ZJ Castro underscore 94, D Stew's replacement. I think we're going to see the Broncos make a run at Adrian Amos, and I think for obvious reasons, everyone's talked about it. that tie to Coach Fangio in Chicago, and that's the big thing there. You have Will Parks, though. Will Parks, Justin Simmons, very, very big pieces. White Boy Rasta, my guy. We need Mosley. And I agree. I think C.J. Mosley would be a great addition to the Broncos in free agency. My only question with that is there are some concerns regarding his coverage ability. Okay, but could that be masked by different pieces on this Broncos defense? I mean, a lot of people want to talk about how Josie Jewell is completely overrated. I tend to disagree. I think Josie Jewell has a lot of skills that can transform under Coach Fangio's system. I think out of all the linebackers the Broncos had in 2018, he's the best coverage linebacker that they have. But yeah, you know, you have to go with the guy. If you don't get an inside linebacker in free agency with C.J. Mosley or some other guys, you know, we talk about Jordan Hicks. I don't think without going through inside linebacker free agency NFL draft, they have Josie Jewell, they have Todd Davis, and I think there is some optimism with Josie Jewell. People tend to forget Joseph Jones is also on the roster for the Broncos as well. Oh, let's see here. White Boy Rasta. Amos over Collins? Yes. I think he'll be a cheaper option too. I think Adrian Amos would be a better, more affordable option for the Broncos. Think about when the Broncos picked up Darian Stewart. He was a steal of a pickup in terms of how much he cost to be a Denver Bronco. And he came in that year, 2015. Just don't remember. The one thing I really liked about Darian Stewart, go back to that game against the Ravens week one in Denver. The Broncos offense just absolutely couldn't get anything going. Akeem Talib had the pick six. Joe Flacco, now the quarterback of the Broncos, drove the Ravens down the field. They had a chance. Darian Stewart came in and tipped that pass into David Bruton's hands for the game winner. That sealed it. That sealed that comeback, that possible game-winning touchdown throw by Joe Flacco. Darian Stewart was a great pickup. Adrian Amos, versatile guy. He can cover. He can hit. He reminds me a little bit of Darian Stewart a few years ago. And Darian Stewart, you know, his thing with him was dealing with injuries, being banged up. That's hard to come back from. Stingers and everything along those lines. Joseph Albright, what about that game against the Saints that got him the contract extension? I mentioned that earlier here in segment one, Joseph. Three interceptions, I believe. He was everywhere. Drew Brees. Dag, he picked off a future Hall of Fame quarterback there. That was a great performance. Tyrann Mathieu, I don't think Tyrann Mathieu is the answer either for Denver. I don't know exactly how he would fit in this defense. Think about it. Justin Simmons is the guy that will roam the middle of the field for them. I don't think they're going to pursue a guy like Tyrann Mathieu. I think he's going to go somewhere else. Brandon Quinn, that Super Bowl year, Stewart was one of the defensive MVPs. He was money. He really was. And so I want to get viewer feedback here. When we're talking about Darian Stewart, go back to 2015, Wade Phillips, defensive coordinator. How much of that do you believe that scheme mattered for that secondary? I felt as if Wade Phillips' scheme played to the strengths of the players. Can we say the same thing for the Broncos in 2018 with Darian Stewart? Darian Stewart often at times under Joe Woods as a defensive coordinator found himself in one-on-one coverage against guys like Travis Kelce, and it didn't work out. It wasn't a good move. White Boy Rasta, what's your top choice to add to the D-line? Ooh, you know, I tell you what, as each day gets closer to the NFL draft, I think obviously we have to see what free agency is going to bring for the Broncos, but I would love to maybe get Quinnen Williams if he's there, but I think he's going to go top five easily. If Ed Oliver is there at 10, the Broncos got to go with Ed Oliver. Absolutely. That would be something. And Nick Kendall of Mile High Huddle, he actually tweeted something out, I believe last July of 2018, talking about how it would be cool for the wish list for Von Miller, Bradley Chubb, and Ed Oliver in a defense. What are the odds that could happen this year? That would be a good pickup. You have some other guys. This really, the defensive tackle line. Ndamukong Suh is an option, but he's going to be way too much. He's going to cost way too much money. The Broncos won't pay that. And he's 32 years of age. Joseph, is Suh being talked about anywhere to the Broncos or for the Broncos? No. As of right now, there is no talk on that. His market, what he's going to get is going to be expensive. Think about it. It could be another one-year deal if he signs anywhere. He could return to the LA Rams. I honestly thought that we saw more of Ndamukong Suh in the playoffs this last season where they went to the Super Bowl, and I thought we saw more of him in the Super Bowl than we did with Aaron Donald during that playoff stretch. He stepped up big time. I just don't think the Broncos, it would be a good fit for them financially. Maybe defensively it could be a good fit, but I have concerns about Suh being that zero head up on the center or in a one or a two-eye technique. I just don't see that being a thing for the Broncos. I think they need a big Haas. I'm talking about a wide guy. I'm talking about going back to like Terrence Potroast Knighton, you know, having a guy of that stature there on the interior. I think Shelby Harris could be a great inside defensive lineman too. He'd not just be a defensive end. He could be a defensive tackle. Zach Kerr's going to be a free agent for the Broncos. Could they bring him back? It's possible. He's a big guy. Coach Fangio has a tendency for his defenses, some of the strengths there. It's not always in the secondary, but it's on the interior D-line, and it's also at inside linebacker. Two areas where the Broncos have to shore things up. Joseph Albright misses pot roast. I think a lot of Broncos fans do. He went off to Washington, and I remember he signed that contract, and things didn't really pan out for him. Tank, my man Tank overseas, says, where are we at with Shaq Barrett? Shaq Barrett wants to start, and rightfully so. I think he deserves to go somewhere where he can start. It's, you know, the unfortunate situation is that the Broncos have two starting edge rushers in Bradley Chubb and Von Miller. And unfortunately for Shaq Barrett, a guy who's been contributing for quite some time. Go back to the year the Broncos won the Super Bowl. Shaquille Barrett and Shane Ray did a lot for the Broncos, especially with DeMarcus Ware, that back injury. Von Miller, I think, got hurt in that Cleveland Browns game. White boy Ross, I wish we would re-sign the Big Uso. Domantas Peko, a big fan favorite for the Broncos. More than likely, they're not going to reunite, even though that he's going to become an unrestricted free agent. I don't think the Broncos are going to be bringing him back. Unfortunately, you know, I think he can land somewhere. You might see him go to, you know, a team that may need him the most, a veteran guy. I just don't see the Broncos bringing him back. That would be an interesting thing to see, though. He's definitely a fan favorite. I felt he had a really off year in 2018 compared to 2017. 2017, he was massive. Captain Spaulding, Broncos need to sign Landon Collins. Landon Collins is a good athlete. You're not going to get any question from me. If Landon Collins was in the Broncos' backfield as in the secondary, I would be happy for that. But the thing is cost-effective. Do you want to be able to add maybe one or two pieces that are really good role players there? Let's see the comments here. Pierre Desir, yep, absolutely. Sheldon Richardson, both those guys are options. I think they're more affordable than Dominican Sue. Absolutely. But back to the Landon Collins point. Landon Collins, it would be an eraser. He'd be that physical presence. But I think you can get a guy like that with Adrian Amos. I think Adrian Amos can be an up-and-coming guy here in the NFL. I like what I saw from him in Chicago. I mean, he's obliterated Cole Beasley. I don't know. I saw that clip today. Adam Humphries, there is some possible interest there from what I've seen for him maybe being a link to wide receiver. I know the Broncos in the market. Benjamin Albright had reported the Broncos are looking to add a burner through free agency at wide receiver. And then we got Captain Spaulding. Broncos have some cap room to work with. Could land Collins or C.J. Mosley. C.J. Mosley is likely going to be a target, but don't be surprised if C.J. Mosley ends up signing back in Baltimore. He didn't want to be franchise tagged. The Ravens and them, they're working on a big-time extension, and the Ravens also just made a move, too, where they released Eric Weddle, who's contributed pretty well for them the last couple of seasons. So they could be opening up some room to maybe create some space to sign him, you know, maybe even long term. That's going to be a big question. We're going to find out, obviously, next week as the NFL free agency period hits on Wednesday, March 13th. Moves can become official. On the 11th of March, NFL agents can start negotiating and talking with organizations and clubs about potential deals. But what else do we have here? We got free agency. Let's talk about the Antonio Brown thing. Antonio Brown, I've got a really, really strong hunch he ends up in Oakland, and the Broncos are going to have to see him two times a year. And with that said, you got to improve your defense. Think about that. Think about the AFC West if that were to happen. Prolific wide receiver Antonio Brown, if he's in Oakland for 2 years, not to mention they have 3 first-round picks. I imagine they'd give up one of those to get Antonio Brown. And then you also think about Kansas City. They're looking to sign Tyreek Hill to a long-term deal. Captain Spaulding says, no, Oakland makes no sense. It makes perfect sense, Captain Spaulding, because they don't have a prolific wide receiver. They have 3 first-round picks. Derek Carr needs a wide receiver to throw the ball to. They don't have that guy. Antonio Brown would be that guy. Who would you want as the burner? Asks White Boy Rasta. Now, there's a lot of talk about Golden Tate. Think about that. There's a ton of talk about Golden Tate being an option, but really, he reminds me a lot of a guy that just, you know, he's a one-trick pony. He has no ability to yard after the catch, run after he catches it, makes guys miss. I think he's a big play wide receiver. I just don't think he's the burner that the Broncos would be looking at. Now, we talk about Adam Humphries. There's a possible connection there. But the Broncos are very, very intrigued with what they have with Deshaun Hamilton. Deshaun Hamilton didn't get a lot of opportunity last year due to an injury. I don't know if you guys remember it, but against the Kansas City Chiefs on that Monday Night Football game, he goes to fill the punt, and the gunner, despite not looking at him, waved the fair catch, runs right into his knee. I mean, we all thought at first that it could have been an ACL. Luckily for Deshaun Hamilton, it was an MCL sprain. Deshaun Hamilton was sidelined for a good portion of that middle part of the season because of that. So we didn't get to see a lot out of Deshaun Hamilton then. However, with Deshaun Hamilton late in the season, one thing that we saw that really stood out to me that I absolutely loved about him is he's got a good focus in the middle of the field. Now, I know, granted, Case Keenum threw him into several routes where, you know, probably could have got sent to the hospital. White boy Ross, I like Tim Patrick more than Hamilton. Tim Patrick is more of an outside receiver. Deshaun Hamilton is going to be your slot guy. He has to be. I mean, and that's where he's going to thrive. And I think that's where he can make defenses pay. We saw it against the Raiders. We saw it against the Chargers. Deshaun Hamilton is going to be a good player. The Broncos are very, very high on him. The Broncos are very high on Cortland Sutton. Cortland Sutton has to do a lot of improving, though. He can't be a one-trick pony. You could throw the ball up to him, absolutely. I think he's going to get it. I think having Joe Flacco, you're going to see more consistency with those deep ball throws with Cortland Sutton. But Cortland Sutton's got to improve on the short to intermediate routes, the slant routes, post patterns, digs, curls. He's got to get his hands ready. We saw him experience, I think he had the most drops in the NFL for a rookie at wideout, if I'm not mistaken. So he's got to work on some of those things, his route running ability. Those things are all workable. ZJ Castro, Nelson Aguilar would be a snake move. I think so. I think that would be a good pickup for the Broncos. Depends on the scheme. Is gonna, you know, we all don't know right now what Rich Scangarello's offense will really look like. We know what system it may be. It's predicated West Coast style offense, but what will it actually look like? We won't know that until training camp. We won't actually know that until probably the end of preseason, week one regular season. We're going to see a full-on glimpse. In the preseason and training camp, they're not going to throw out their entire offense there. Granted, also, they also throw out joint practices with other teams, so they're not going to show their full hand right before the season because it gives teams an idea on what to look for. So you see in the preseason, a lot of teams taking a look at film from the last year or if a player played somewhere else. But yes, Nelson Aguilar, I think, would be a great addition. I think especially when you see that two high safety look, you can run a, you know, various routes. You can run a curl route. You can run a corner with the number two receiver on the inside. That could be a Nelson Aguilar type guy. He is a burner. You want to get a guy across the middle of the field. That's what Emmanuel Sanders really excels at, too. And a lot of people forget this. I know there's questions. Emmanuel Sanders coming off Achilles surgery. He's 32 years old. Can he come back and be effective? That's the question. There is no guarantee with an Achilles injury. Okay, I'll tell you this. An ACL tear and an Achilles rupture are two of the hardest injuries to come back from. Most athletes wish they at least would have broken a bone rather than having those torn Achilles or a torn ACL because ligaments, they're a pain in the ass. They're absolute pain in the ass to come back from. It sucks. Every day, I'm a weatherman now because of my ACL. Aguilar, Sutton, Sanders by Graham Tika. That would be amazing. I think Nelson Aguilar could be a good addition. How much money is he going to cost, though? Look, the Broncos are in a good position. The Broncos have more cap space right now in 2019 than they did back when they signed, you know, T.J. Ward, DeMarcus Ware, Emmanuel Sanders, and Aqib Talib in that offseason. They have more money right now than they did then, and they made it work. So I think, obviously, you have to factor in, could the Broncos ask Von Miller to maybe restructure some money, move some money around? Which players are going to be asked to restructure? I mean, we got Chris Harris Jr.'s extension coming up, possibly after free agency in the NFL draft in the offseason. They're going to have to take a look at some of these things. But ultimately, the Broncos are going to have some pretty nice cap space coming up here in this next week. So they got to make some moves, for sure. But Antonio Brown could change the dilemma of the entire AFC West. Tyreek Hill, close to 5-year, over $95 million contract extension that's being talked about right now. Patrick Mahomes, a possible $200 million deal in the next year or two. That's good news for the Broncos because the Chiefs are focusing on putting everything on their offense, and they're not going to be signing those defensive players. So that's something to keep an eye on there. The state of the AFC West, the Chargers, still very good. People tend to discount what they're able to do. Joseph Albright, a great quarterback, will make a great receiver. Hence Manning and Thomas. I think Peyton Manning made a lot of NFL wide receivers' careers. And you have to have, as if you're an NFL wide receiver, you have to have chemistry with your quarterback. Having a guy like Peyton Manning, amazing. Having a guy like Tom Brady, amazing. Having a guy like Drew Brees, amazing. And some of these teams that have younger quarterbacks are learning how important it is to develop that continuity and that consistency all across the board with their quarterback and wide receiver core. Look at the Broncos last year. Case Keenum, him and Emmanuel Sanders worked all offseason, and it was evident on the field that those two had the best connection on the team. The moment Emmanuel Sanders went down, it was rough for the Broncos' offensive production. We saw Cortland Sutton obviously get thrown more, Tim Patrick. But I also believe, yes, and I think ZJ Castro points it out there, DT was pretty dang good before Peyton Manning. Think about it. Go back to that Minnesota Vikings game when Tim Tebow was the quarterback. Denver was on the road. I remember Andre Goodman was getting roasted that entire game. I believe it was by Percy Harvin, if I'm not mistaken. And Tim Tebow was just connecting left and right with Demaryius Thomas. That was where we really saw DT evolve. And then we saw it take another step with another level in that playoff game on the catch and run against Ike Taylor to beat the Steelers. big, big moment. Demaryius Thomas is a good wide receiver. Unfortunately, going through some stuff right now. Personally, I don't know what that's going to do with his career. That could be something, you know, that could derail him for the next year or two. And especially coming off Achilles surgery, it's rough. And it's in the same position. One play against the Steelers is enough to put him into the Ring of Fame. Perhaps so. I mean, that's a moment. That's one of the top moments in Broncos history. It really, really is. Joseph Albright remembers that game. Yep, we were talking about the Minnesota game. He's just been a big player for the Broncos. He doesn't get a lot of credit. And that's the thing about Demaryius Thomas. Great player, great professional, stand-up guy. Doesn't get as much credit as he deserves. A lot of people are saying was the product of Peyton Manning. That certainly helped elevate his game. When Trevor Siemian became the quarterback, that chemistry that he had with Peyton Manning, he didn't have that with Trevor Siemian. That was definitely a rough thing to watch. Now, Demaryius Thomas is either holds or is very close, I mean, you know, to beating Rod Smith's records that Rod Smith broke as a Bronco. Unfortunately, it's not going to happen. I imagine Demaryius Thomas will probably retire a Bronco, probably sign a one-day contract when it's all said and done, retire a Bronco. He's got a very special place in Broncos country history. He really, really does. But yeah, some other NFL news too. Also, within the division, we talked about it in yesterday's show. The Chiefs have been rumored possibly to, I don't know, maybe trade D Ford. They wanted to trade D Ford maybe for a second round pick after franchise tagging him, one of their pass rushers, leaving him with Chris Jones. But they also released Justin Houston. And a lot of people are saying that the Broncos should make a move for Justin Houston. There's no need for it. There really isn't. The Broncos have Bradley Chubb, Von Miller. They still need to get a little bit more depth there. Jeff Holland, a guy I think is going to take a big step this year in mini camp, training camp, OTAs, preseason. Maybe get the rightful thing that he deserves. We're going to see DeMarcus Walker maybe get a chance on that defensive line this year with Coach Fangio. It's possible. It certainly is. But the Broncos won't. They're not going to have any interest in a guy like Justin Houston. I mean, that would cost too much. The Broncos already have a lot of money on that side for pass rushers. They're not going to pay any much more money than they already are. And they're going to be losing Shane Ray in free agency. Shaquille Barrett more than likely gone in free agency. Look for Shaquille Barrett to possibly go to the Browns. Or I said it best, he could go to the Browns or he could go to the 49ers or the Patriots. Those are the three teams to keep an eye on for Shaquille Barrett. That's some of the rumblings I've heard. And you can see that, you know, maybe Garrett and Barrett down there with Miles Garrett in Cleveland could be a good connection there. So, but yeah, we'll take a few more questions here on the Lockdown Broncos podcast for our segments 2 and 3 Periscope Thursday. ZJ Castro, a thought. Do you see Denver moving on from Cravens? I'm not sure yet. And I think Coach Fangio kind of gave us a little bit of clarity on this last week. He said Sue Cravens is going to have an opportunity to make this football team. One of the biggest things for him is we got to see what he can do on the practice field. We didn't get to see too much of that last season. Obviously, coming into training camp, had knee injury. That was bothering him. He ended up having surgery. He played in that last preseason game against the Cardinals, had knee surgery, was out, injured reserve designated to return. And then he came back and he just looked rusty. He looked rusty, had a hard time, you know, covering tight ends. Then again, the Broncos all around had a lot of issues covering tight ends. They got to find that eraser. You got to find that guy that can absolutely do that, whether that's an agile inside linebacker like Devin White. If he's there at pick number 10, that's going to be an interesting thing we're going to keep an eye on, though, because I think that's a big storyline. The Real Ocean 97, Josh Rosen destination, hopefully D.C. I'd say that's probably the most realistic trade destination if the Cardinals really do want to trade him away. There's a lot of talk. Obviously, they want to go with Kyler Murray, the old ties to Cliff Kingsbury. To me, I just don't think it makes much sense to have Josh Rosen, a guy you drafted last season, traded after one season. I think he's got talent. The supporting cast around him, though, wasn't that great. The offensive line wasn't that great. And you think Kyler Murray is going to come into a place where there's a really bad O-line and he's going to have success? I just don't buy that. I don't buy that narrative. But if there is a team that should maybe inquire, it's got to be Washington. They're hurting without Alex Smith. I would be very surprised if Alex Smith honestly plays an NFL game again. He's going to be out the entire 2019 season. It's one of those crazy things. I mean, battling infection after the whole entire injury. I can't even imagine as a human being dealing with that, almost to the same extent that Teddy Bridgewater did. Look for Teddy Bridgewater to possibly be a possible guy down there in Washington as well. And then we got some other ones. Graham Tika says, do you think Adrian Amos to Denver is close to a guarantee? One thing I've learned in this business is that nothing is ever guaranteed until it's official. You know, we've seen that. Elvis Dumervil. There was a rumored deal done with the Broncos several years ago, and then a fax machine ruined it. So that's why we always say facts only. Nothing is guaranteed right now. I think there's some traction there. Look for the Broncos maybe to have some interest in Bryce Callahan, another cornerback that has ties to Coach Fangio, Ed Donatell. These are guys that may be wanting to transition from that system where they now have Chuck Pagano as a new DC. The Bears may be entering a rebuilding period, essentially. That's kind of been the term there. I didn't understand that necessarily because they do have Matt Nagy. They still have Mitch Trubisky. They still have a ton of talent. I don't think they're going into a rebuild period. A lot of people I talked to, some people at the Scouting Combine, and even on the broadcast media, Dan Patrick Show said that the Bears were going to be going through a rebuild period. I just don't quite see that because that means you have to overhaul everything. I mean, they lost a great coach. They lost Coach Fangio. He was a big part of their culture there. They still have some very talented players defensively. However, if guys like Adrian Amos or Bryce Callahan leave, that puts them in a bind a little bit more. So that's something we can look at. They also released Sam Atchell. I don't know if the Broncos might have any look at that. I highly doubt it. But Bryce Callahan and Adrian Amos are two guys to watch. It'd be affordable pickups for the Broncos compared to getting a guy like Landon Collins. So maybe you can shore up some of those positional needs that you need. Denver has to pursue a cornerback in free agency. They have to find a solidified number two. A rookie's not going to be a number two cornerback in 2019. So they're going to look to address that here in free agency next week. And it says, Joseph Albright, if and when John Elway is gone from GM, does Peyton get the GM gig? I don't know. I think Peyton Manning, we could see him one day in a general manager gig, whether that's with the Broncos or whether it's at the Colts. But I think we're going to see him own a team first. I think we're going to see ownership more so of a team from a guy like Peyton Manning. I just don't see that really happening. I don't think, you know, I think barring something, if John Elway really struggles, then yeah, maybe they could do something. I just don't see that happening. You know, we all forget that John Elway is the president of football operations too. CJ Castro, New York should trade their second for him and then do best player available in the draft. Joseph Albright, look at what the average Broncos did to Rosen last year. Give us Darby. I'm okay with Ronald Darby. Ronald Darby, I think, could be a very physical component. And think about it this way too. The Broncos defense, they have to go back to fundamentals. We talk about how big their scheme was. That was the area where I think there were concerns with the Broncos defense. So much talent on that side of the ball. They just didn't play like it. And I think a lot of that has to do with scheme, and they weren't in a very good scheme. Captain Spaulding says, I wouldn't be mad if Roby leaves. I think Roby goes elsewhere. I get a strong hunch that he does, but if he does stay in Denver, I guarantee you Denver will not pay him $10 million per year. I'd be very surprised if they actually paid him $10 million per year. I'd like to make $10 million per year, but that's a different story. Well, Bradley Roby, I mean, yes, prior to last season, Bradley Roby's had a great career at the Broncos. 17 passes defend in 2017. That's a franchise record. When you can defend and cover 17 passes, when you have Aqib Talib, Chris Harris Jr., teams don't want to test them, teams are going away from them, and you defend 17 passes like that, you're battle-tested. The thing about Bradley Roby is he does have experience. That's one thing I think will be a big factor, experience. But $10 million per year, I just don't see it. I see a $6 to $8 million per year time frame for Bradley Roby, and I could see it maybe adding some incentives in there where he could possibly make $10 million in a season. I just don't see it being them. You're going to get 10 right away in a new market on a new deal. Yep, Darby coming off a torn ACL. Von Miller, Harris has ACL. Yeah, they've had ACL surgeries, but Darby, I don't know. I haven't done a lot of research on Darby. I don't know if his is more fresh, but Von Miller, Chris Harris, they had their ACL in the same year back in 2013. Ironically, they missed the Super Bowl that year. What could have been? I don't know. That could have been a big thing there with those two guys. But yes, that'll do it here for our segment here on the Lockdown Broncos podcast or Periscope edition. We'll do more of these. We do one every week. So Wednesday evenings here on Periscope, we got you covered for Thursday's episode of the show. Once again, I want to thank you guys for tuning into the show. I'm your host, Cody Rourke. We'll be back tomorrow for another episode of the show.